Now, how to say, like, everybody's good evening. Hola, mala. Good afternoon. So, in Myanmar, we say Mingala ba. So, we came from Myanmar, like, in Yangon. Our house name is from the Joint Center. And then we came from four people. This is Mama Tori. Yeah. In her name in Myanmar is Tan Sin Chu. And then this is Treasure. She is Blessing. Hi, everyone. Hello. Hi. So how to say, like, my English is like so poor, but after that, Tori translate me. So now, how to say, like, we are working at the picnic family, Yangon Pavement Picnic. So every Friday, we went there at the downtown, and then we met many street kids and, like, really poor family. So among them, one of the girls, so we met her, like, many years ago. So we started the Yangon Pavement Picnic is like Treasure pregnant. So, yeah, I was pregnant, and Treasure is in me. So, and then we met that girl, and then, like, after we met and before she leaves us together. This is like her mom passes away after 2 years. So we met her on the street, and, like, after that, she decided to choose a family. So that's why now we're going to see and watch a movie. And then you can see in that movie, and her name is like little girl, is like Nicole. She arrived at home 7 days. And then one of the girls is like, she helped us, like, we give her name Kingdom Helper Heart. Vale? Kingdom Helper Heart. She has, like, her name is Yumi, and then my grand also there. So now my mom and my sister and Nicole, Tashui, four people left at Joy Center.
This video gives you a bit of a glimpse of life at the Joy Center before the kids go to school and the journey to school. And you'll see mainly Ta Shui, because we focused on her. Because when she arrived with us, she was very angry. And like Marjara said, she had to really choose family. It wasn't enough that we said we want to do family with you. She actually has had to consistently choose, I want family. I want to be loved. I want to be parented. I want to be part. And so this video primarily focuses on her. You will see Blessing and Treasure. You will see Marjara's mum. You will see Yumi, who is currently living with Nico and Tashui, who are still in Myanmar. And you will see Nico, who's only 9 months now, but she came to us at 7 days old. And hopefully you enjoy it.
So now I'm going to talk, like, in my words. Tashui ga zoro te yao chen si rai ngu sa fei lai de.
Tashui, for each of us, wrote us a letter before we left. What she wrote in each letter. She spoke about her life. She said she had no mother, so it was like her life had come to nothing.
But now she has Mama Tori and Anu, which is in Kachin, mother, and we have called her to live with us. She said that she really loves us. She wrote in these letters. And she also wrote to each of us that we should remember that we're not alone, that we have family. So today, Marjara wants to speak about family and things related to family that she feels are important.
So, Tori ga Yangon la de kama.
So when I went to Myanmar, I wasn't like a missionary. It was like God's family, being part of God's family.
So
it's that style that we've done. It's not that I'm a missionary, it's that I'm part of God's family. So for me, so for her, that was quite hard.
But Tori ne, Jamane ga, a shame.
Because me and Tori are really different. So our countries are like 100 years different in terms of development.
So Tori로
in our country, for me, Tori, it's okay to ask lots of questions. If you ask lots of questions, it's a sign you're actually really quite clever. In her country, it's not okay to ask questions. If you ask questions, it's really rude. Shut your mouth. It's totally different. Also, the way we think is totally different. So we both wanted to do family. So she wants to speak about how if you have to choose, if you want to get victory, if you want to overcome in something that's quite difficult, not always easy, you have to make choices. So her culture and my culture is totally different. Yes. So in my culture, if you meet someone and they've got a bit fat, you say, wow, you've got really fat. If you've met someone in her culture and they've got really thin, you say, wow, you've got really thin, and that's really fine. There's nothing rude about that.
You're
really close and greeting each other. So one of my friends came to Yangon. She didn't know about English culture. So she said to this friend who you all know, wow, you've got really fat. And I'm like,
I could not try to stop you.
I'm like trying to stop her, but she couldn't. So in trying to do family, the culture of our nations is so different. Our thinking is so different. The way we think is so different. For me, sometimes, to do with family, it's really hard. Doing family together is really hard. Yeah, in her country, they don't like hugging very much.
So
it's like this.
So paying, I let me load it now.
In that way of greeting each other, they really don't have that. You don't hug each other to greet each other.
So,
mostly in your family, with you help your mum and your dads. Mostly, you don't put much value on children.
So, they
say in Burmese culture that dog and children are the same.
So,
children keep your mouth shut, go and live over there. So for me,
Sunday school,
when she was a Sunday school teacher, but she had no place, no church,
no authority.
She didn't put any value, so no value on the children, on the Sunday school teachers. So if you're a Sunday school teacher, it's not much value in Burmese culture.
So
pat tap your bow. So the way we do things for people in Myanmar, in the church of Myanmar, is really strange because we're putting value on children because we are seeing the children and caring for the children and doing family. So we're very different. And also we're different in the church, but Marjara and I are very different because she says keep your mouth, like her old style was keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Don't play together, like young people and old people, play together, children play together. to do family, you treat the children to rice, you wash their clothes. You think that's the best for your children. You're not thinking about playing, you're not thinking about anything else, about spending time with them. So I would say, coming from where we come from, and also from biblical side, we should give them time, we should give them value. We should play together. But Marjai, that was really difficult.
So,
but she chose. So now she understands what it means to really to care for the children and to love the children.
So when
we're talking about family,
so
it's not just a man and a woman. We also, within the family of God, we have family. Within the church, we have family. It's not just about the small nucleus of family, like mother, father, children. It's also the church that is the family of God. So Marja really likes to express love by helping people.
So Tori's love language is touch.
For me, it's touch. I love to hug people. So one time, I went traveling. Marja has blessing and treasure. And Ongdu at that time.
So Ongdu
used to live on the street and was living with her.
So she really
tried to come and help me and love me by coming and cleaning my whole flat before I got home.
So
the whole thing was so clean. She then went to the airport to collect me and then dropped me off at my house and gave me my stuff. Just stayed about 15 minutes and then she went back to her house. So she's thinking, I've just done the best. I've cleaned her flat. I really love her. I wanted to show I loved her, so I've cleaned her flat. I picked up from the airport. But just a little bit later, I don't come out well in this. I called Marja.
What
are you doing? Where have you gone? If you're not free, just say. But for Marja, for Tori, what do I have to do? I don't know. I really tried. So she brandishes me, the foreigner, with complaints and grumbles.
So,
it's how she thought.
But
we hadn't lived together. We hadn't chosen to live together. But when we chose to live together, for Marja it was really hard. You can understand why.
So Marja, I would say this thing,
and Marja's thinking would be this.
So
we're completely different.
So
so she would pray and fast for 3 days one time.
She said to God,
it can't happen that we live together as family. It's just too hard. But Jesus said to her, he has faithfulness. He wants you to have faithfulness. With his faithfulness, the hand of Jesus, we have shoes in flip flops in Myanmar. Jesus' hands are under her feet. So she's walking in his faithfulness. One side was faithfulness and the other side was love. So there was one slipper with faithfulness, one slipper love, and they were in his hands. She was walking in his hands. So at this time she said, okay, yes, I submit. I submit to what you're saying, and I will trust you that you will show us the way forward. So at that time we changed houses and started living together and started what we know as the Joy Center. It was very hard. But every time we submitted to Jesus, he would do something to change us.
So
to do something new. So we were living together. After about 8 months. So for 8 months she still couldn't do the hugging thing. She didn't like it. Like I would always choose a hug if I feel like I need love or so, want to give love.
So practice.
So she, if I hugged her, she would practice trying to like hugging back.
But
she doesn't like it. But last March, she would pray every day. So she would say, every day I want, give me the ability to walk in your faithfulness and to walk in your love. And she would, God would listen to her prayers. And he gave her promises. March,
March.
In March, we happen to go traveling.
So she
suddenly found in God this ability to like hugging at a time that was quite difficult. We were traveling not because we wanted to travel, but because we had to for emergency reasons. And God did something new in her heart. What she wants to say is, if you submit to God, he will do something new in you in the context of your family. So at this time, she began to feel a fresh love when before she found it quite hard to love this strange
foreigner.
So she has another friend in the church who likes hugs. But when this friend hugs her, she does not like it. But she just always feels she doesn't like it. But when she submitted to God in the context of trying to love me, as it were, something in her heart changed that she is able now to do that in a way that she doesn't think about it. So when you're in family, you cannot like things. Things can be difficult. But if you submit to Jesus, for the sake of your family, for what God is doing in your family, he will do a new thing. Doesn't matter how hard it is. If you submit to God, if you have the mind, the heart to choose
God,
he will do a new thing. So he can do really amazing things when we submit to him and when we choose with our own heart and mind and will to go his way in our families. Thank you. We're talking today about how family matters. And so often, if we're really honest, family is quite hard, isn't it? I mean, certainly for us, our family isn't the most orthodox family. We're doing kingdom family, in as much as we really believe that God is in Myanmar wanting to call many sons and daughters. We know he's given us a promise. Many thousands of sons and daughters to come into the revelation of their identity and their authority as his children. And that's the big picture of what we're doing, wanting to see lots of people in Myanmar come to know Jesus. But in the small, we believe prophetically, as we do family with Blessing, with Treasure, with Nico, with Tashwe, with Ongdu, with Paulu, some of the two boys that used to be with us, that we on the small, as it were, are prophetically manifesting, prophetically revealing the very heart of the Father towards his children to love. But it's not easy because you've got completely different people. You've got completely different children. Marja's children love and know their mother. They've suddenly got this foreigner living with them. They've also got street children suddenly living with them. They've also got a baby that suddenly turns up. And it's like everyone, we had to be really strategic in our thinking. Most of us, we kind of do family because we've chosen each other in the most normal way, and we get married and we have children. And it's beautiful, but we don't think too much sometimes about what we're actually doing. But we've had to choose, we've had to think strategically, what is it our family in the kingdom stands for, that we want there to be joy, peace,
We want there to be the culture of honor. We want there to be self-control. We want there to be just the pillar of faith that we all come under the authority of our Father in heaven. We've had to think really strategically. And sometimes I think that's been a blessing to us because it means we know what we're aiming at. I mean, sometimes in our families, we haven't always thought through what we're trying to do. And actually, it can be really helpful sometimes as families that want to stay together, that want to continue, like Isaiah's family, to be for signs and wonders in a world that is kind of desperate and dying. It's really good for us to stop and think, what are we doing? And that's what we've had to do. We've had to consciously say, this is what we're choosing. We want these children to feel love. We want each other to feel the love of God through our time, through our service, through our touch, whatever it is. So I'm going to just share a couple of, maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute for each point, about particularly three things the Lord gave us. Children, if you've got a moment to draw a time when you have felt most loved by your mum or your dad, that would be amazing. So children, if you hear me, if you can draw a time when you felt most loved by your mum and dad, it might have been you were playing football, it might be that you were going for a walk, it might be you were watching TV, it might be your mum hugging you. Just draw a picture of what that would be. But today, we just want to, just three things that the pressure in our society. I read this year that divorce, the numbers of divorce in London, some of the highest in the world. Is that right? Did I read that on the BBC News? That in London, divorce is huge. So as families that aren't always ideal, we have to live with the actual, which is sometimes really hard and difficult. What does it look like to kind of keep growing in love? What does it look like to sort of be able to manifest, as it were, in our family lives, something of God's heart, something of God's character, something of the importance of what it means? Because after all, family, we bow our knee before our Father in heaven, from whom every family derives its name. You know, he's given us family. It's his design, it's his model, and it's really, really precious. So the first thing, we have to keep our love on. It says, doesn't it, in Colossians, beyond all these things, put on love. It can be so easy to put on anger. It can be so easy to put on frustration. I tell you what, when Tashwe, at the beginning of living with us, did not speak to me for a week, nearly 2 weeks, I tell you what, I wanted to put on anger. What are you doing? I'm just trying to love you. But I had to keep putting on love. You can ask Marjar the times when I would literally fall on my face and say, Marjar, I just don't know if I even, we talk about loving, but I don't know if I even like at the moment. And we can feel that in family, right? I mean, we maybe don't want to acknowledge that, but we can feel that. Is that right? And I had to get on my face, in all honesty, because in family, if we don't have Jesus at the center, if we can't fall on our face before our Father, we're in trouble. It's so powerful to have Jesus at the center of our families, to pray, which we do regularly. You saw it in the video. We pray before they go to school. We pray in the day. We pray at night. We read the Bible together. Those are the kind of cornerstones, as it were, of what we do and who we are. And if we don't have that, it's so hard. But like Marjar says, if we will submit, if we will keep choosing to put on love, and even in the midst of the silence and the anger, keep loving, keep trying to overcome your own feelings and love the one in front of you. There's something very, very powerful about that. It's not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's very hard. But the testimony of our lives together, as you take the English person, you take the Kachin person, you take the two daughters of the Kachin person, you take the street children, actually, as we each talk about what it means to choose to keep loving each other, even when it's hard, something very powerful happens. So today, just be encouraged, wherever your situation, your family, don't put on anger, don't put on frustration. Choose to put on love. And the best way to put on love is to come before the Father and ask him to help you see your wife or see your husband or see your children as he sees them. And then you find in him the resource to love again. Secondly, keep moving towards each other in love. Again, in our family, sometimes it's so easy when you don't understand each other. For us, it's cultural differences, or it's background differences, or it's the fact that one child's been on the street and the other hasn't. The danger is, in fear and misunderstanding, we just move apart. We can do that in family as well. We can isolate, can't we? Go into our rooms or go into our own activities because we don't understand what's happening in relationships. So we separate slightly. We're still living together, but we're not connected. But there's no fear in love. And love always moves towards, like the love of God in Jesus moved towards us, doesn't wait for us to be perfect, but moved towards us, came and was born into this world. Love moves towards. And because of the cross, because of what Jesus has done, we can be completely vulnerable about what our weaknesses are. Because of the cross, we can be completely honest about what we're thinking or what we're feeling. And we can give each other love and grace and forgiveness. So rather than moving apart in fear, let's move towards each other in love. And this is something we have to say again and again in our house to each other when we don't understand each other at times in the past, but also to Tashway. At one time, Blessing and Tashway had a bit of an argument. I hope it's okay to say. Blessing's amazing. She's as much a part of the ministry of this family as Marjar or I, so is Treasure. And they had a bit of an argument, and Blessing had read something and was explaining something she read, and Tashway's character at that stage is still very street, and she's very argumentative. Street children are very argumentative, so she was arguing with Blessing. Blessing, what you're saying is not right. And Blessing's like, I've just read the book, I know. She kept arguing, no, it's not right. So eventually, Blessing was pushed to the point where she says, you can't read. Which to Tashway was a bit of a punch because she can't and she felt a bit small. And so what we then found is we had two children that were really hurting and not talking or playing with each other anymore. So we had to say to both of them, do we want to be a family that moves towards each other in love? Do we love each other? Are we doing family? And they had to say, yes, we are, we're trying. And then they had to choose to come together and talk about how they felt hurt, talk about how they felt, and then they had to choose to forgive each other. And then they were just fine within seconds. But that's what it means, not to move away in fear, but to keep moving towards each other in love so that we understand each other. Tashway many times has gone in so angry with me and not spoken to me for days. But one time she had to really choose. Marjar spoke with her and she made a really confident choice to come to me and say, look, I feel like maybe you're not going to love me tomorrow. Which for her was such a vulnerable thing to say. And I said to her, of course I'm going to love you tomorrow. And we, in that vulnerability, there was restoration, there was security, there was safety for her. She had to be honest about the fear she was feeling about love and whether it was conditional or unconditional. So not only let's keep our love on, but let's keep moving towards each other in love. And finally, I'm so sorry, is it okay? Just a little over. Let's keep focused on each other. So Marjar is an amazing testimony to this. She has, unknown to me so many times, not thought about herself, but constantly thought, how can I best love this crazy foreigner that's arrived in our midst? How do I best communicate love to this person? She's not thought about herself, she's tried. And that is such an example of what it means to love. It's not thinking about ourselves, like it says in Philippians 2, abandon every display of selfishness. Possess greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And consider the example that Jesus has set before us. And let his mindset become your motivation. He who considered himself nothing and emptied himself and came as a servant. Not thinking about himself, not thinking about his rights, but came and was a man amongst us, he died for us. And it's that mindset, we have to let, we have to allow that to become our mindset where we don't, in the world, we're so self-centered, so self-orientated, even about our families. We have to begin to say, Lord, I let you give me your mindset, which is that I will think of others first. I will love the one in front of me before I will consider myself. And you know, we've seen this year, incredibly, how Tashway, did you see how happy she looks? She never used to smile. Very rarely, right? She didn't smile. She smiles all the time now. We get in the house from having been away. She runs and gets us a cup of water. We're coming to the airport to come to England. She's carrying our bags. She never used to be able to think about anyone else. When it comes to doing her washing, she used to only put her washing out. And we'd say to her, look, we're in family, so we do it for each other. We help each other. Now she's putting everyone else's washing out. She's also sitting for about an hour and a half folding everyone's washing to make it nice and tidy to put into their rooms. It's amazing to see. In the same way, Marjar doesn't like playing games with the children or watching TV, but you see now Marjar on a Sunday night is watching TV. She's choosing because the kids love it and it means something to them. She's choosing to play games. She doesn't like it, right? But she chooses to because she knows it conveys love to the children. And this is what it means to be family, not only keep our love on, not only move towards each other in love, not fear, moving away from each other, moving towards each other in love, but also to think of the other, to keep focused on the other, your husband, your children. And it's amazing when we focus on someone else, how actually we find so much joy, so much peace, so much freedom. So this is the encouragement we want to carry to you today. I mean, I'm sure your families are nowhere near as crazy as ours, but I'm sure they're crazy in many ways. Because family is, right? It's never easy. There's no perfect family. Be released. No perfect family. Do you all hear that? There's no perfect family. That we all just do our very best to love and to move towards each other, to focus on the other, not ourselves. Remembering that at the very center is Jesus. So when things go wrong, we have somewhere to go. We have somewhere to go. Not only can we come to Jesus, but if it's really bad and you don't know what to do, you can come to the church. You can come to the community of faith. You can find people to encourage you, to help you, to keep you going. Because we have the ideal, and often we're living with the actual, which is quite far from the ideal. That we've got to learn to hold those two things. We want the ideal, and we cry out for more of Holy Spirit, more of Jesus, that we may live in that love and that peace and that joy, but it's not always like that. So we hold the actual in maturity, and we fall on our face, and we ask Him to help, and He will help. We submit to Him, He will change us. And we'll find all the resources we need to love one another. But we have to really be strategic. So we leave you with a challenge over the next weeks. You've all got a Family Matters challenge. To think of someone else in your family and how you can demonstrate love to them. We've spoken about touch. We've spoken about how Marjar's way of communicating love is through acts of kindness. There are five ways we can express love. One is touch. One is acts of kindness. One is affirming words. One is the receiving of presents. And the other is quality time. So in the next few weeks, think of one person in your family that you think they need to be filled up with a bit more love. You might feel that they're feeling not very loved by you at the moment. Think of that person, and then over the next few weeks, okay, I want to give them time. So think of watching a movie with them, or think of going for a walk with them. Think of making them something to give them a gift. Think of speaking or writing them an encouraging note before they go to work or before they go somewhere where you're not going to be. Or send them a text, words of affirmation. Give them a hug or just sit close to them. Maybe make their sandwiches or fold their washing or do their ironing. Find five ways using each of the love languages to love them. Yes? And then after you've done the five ways, say to them, which one did you really feel loved? And then you'll have a good idea of the best way to show them love. Because the one they most enjoy is the one that is how they understand love. Because blessing here, and if you don't give her time, she doesn't feel loved. If any of you have time with her, she will talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk because she loves time. Is that true, blessing? Manla. Manda, what? If you say you love her, it doesn't mean too much. If you give her a hug, she's like her mum. Hugs are not in. But if you give her time, she understands it. And so when she said that she likes time, we knew, oh, okay, that's what we need to be doing. We need to give her time. So will you all do that, signing up for the challenge? Yeah? Because we want our families to be places where love is manifest, don't we? Love and joy, peace and safety. And even with this challenge, I want to encourage you, come before God and say, Lord, I submit to you. I want you to help me to know how to do this. Don't make it just an exercise you're doing because we're telling you to do it. Bring it before the Father in heaven. Ask Holy Spirit to help you and inspire you. And watch what he will do in your child, in your wife, in your husband, in your mum, in your dad. Children, has anyone managed to draw a picture of when they felt loved by their mum or dad? Anyone managed? Have you done one? Can I? Wow. So, believe in God. I love you and you're the best. The only mum in the world. Wow. Wow. So, we like words. Has anyone got, when they felt loved, a picture of when they felt loved? Oh, wow. So, here we've got when mum reads me a book and when she gives me a hug. So, that's so lovely. So you obviously really like the touch and you really like time. Is that true? Touch and time. So mum, you now know what you need to do. Lots of hugs and lots of time. Isn't that beautiful? Shall we pray? Children, do you want to just close your eyes too? Jesus, thank you so much for the power of what you did at the cross, that we can come in all our vulnerability, all our weaknesses, all of our differences, and there's enough in the cross to fix every division. When we look at that example, Lord, we ask, would you help us to be like you, to be sacrificial in our love, in our families, to think of our mums, to think of our dads, to think of our husbands, to think of our wives, to think of our children before ourselves. Help us to keep putting on love. Help us to move towards each other in love. We pray all dynamics of fear from our families be gone in Jesus' name. And Lord, would you help us to see each other first? Holy Spirit, we can't do it on our own, but we long to be families that really glorify you, where your spirit and your life is so present. So help us. And I just pray now the blessing of your presence on every family that's here. That every family would grow in grace and forgiveness and the knowledge of your love. And that every family would be blessed in this season and grow and blossom. Lord, we want to be a people that stand for family. We don't want to see the spirit of this age and all that divorce means coming into who we are. So we put a boundary in the spirit and we say no. Lord, help us to keep turning to one another. Keep choosing one another. Help us to keep submitting to you. And yes, do the new thing amongst us. Change our hearts towards each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.